Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's Real Vision Daily Briefing is brought to you by Chintai, your partner in asset tokenization. Licensed and regulated by Singapore's Monetary Authority and powered by the innovative CHEX token, Chintai offers a compliant, one-stop solution for bringing real-world assets on-chain. Chintai enables the tokenization of virtually any asset, from carbon credits to corporate debt, private funds, and real estate, enhancing liquidity and optimizing efficiency for all.
The technology becomes largely invisible and seamless to the end user. I can take a selective store of value within a wider portfolio in a fairly liquid form, very efficiently, to anything, whether it's some high-value whiskey, whether it's a particular supercar that's a one of three limited edition, therefore, and this fungible trading of them in a liquid form is the true end game here for tokenization.
With billions of dollars in client deals facilitated, explore how you can take advantage of tokenization by visiting realvision.com/chintai.
If you want to participate in the upside of crypto but don't have the time or the inclination to go truly down the rabbit hole, then Real Vision Crypto might just be for you. New from Real Vision, an RV crypto subscription gets you access to a trading basket complete with risk management strategy, technical analysis updates, private Discord channel, monthly drinks online, and more. And it's led by a team of RV favorites, including Chris Bullock, Jamie Coots, Peter Pinkosoff, and more to be announced soon. So, barely have time to listen to the end of this ad, but want to take part in this crypto cycle without having to dedicate all of your time to figuring it out? Go to realvision.com/RV crypto. That's realvision.com/RV crypto to see if RV crypto is the right fit for you.
Sell in May or chop in May. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. I'm Maggie Lake. With me today is Mitch Schneider, Chief Market Strategist at MarketGage.com and a member of the RV Marketplace. Hey, Mitch. Always great to see you.
Great to see you as well. And here we are. Crazy day, of course, in the markets.
Yep. And just about to go into May. And we pulled that question right straight out of your research, your great research note, because everyone is trying to figure that out. Certainly a bearish tone today as we sort of approach that new month. We saw treasury yields rise after the employment cost index surprised to the upside. That, of course, that jump in yields hurt stocks, the NASDAQ selling into the close, which you never want to see, sort of picking up some selling momentum, down 2%, the Dow and S&P down 1.5%. It was interesting because not all of the data was strong. I mean, consumer confidence that fell, Chicago PMI was well below expectations. But it seems like investors are clearly nervous ahead of the Federal Reserve. What do you see going on in the economy, given that we have these mixed signals?
Well, last week was GDP. So there you had the classic stagflation conversation, which, you know, we've been having for quite some time already as a potential. And yet the initial reaction was negative and then positive because the market still feels that if the Fed is starting to get concerns about things like recession, number one, or stagnation, number two, or the fact that the yields are so high, the cost of paying back the interest on the debt is really high, and that would behoove them to lower. This is what's really confusing the market right now, which is why we say, is it sell in May or is it chop in May? Or I should say continue chop from April into May. So I think right now what we've got a situation is the Fed's probably not going to do anything tomorrow. My sense is that they will see both doors, more inflation or possible recession, and they'll decide right now to still stay outside. And they should. I think they should. They should stay the course at this point until they have further evidence. And I also, what spooked the market today, by the way, was Yellen, because she came out and had a lot of negative things to say, all the things she was worried about. And I think that also. So here we are. we all thought that AI was going to save the day right until through last week when we had the, you know, the Microsoft earnings come out and the Google earnings came out. And I know there's a bunch of earnings coming out as you and I are talking today in the tech space, AMD, SMCI. I haven't seen, obviously, I'm looking at here, but that maybe will help. But turns out that tech, like everything else, like the EV space, has to find a sense of value. And it hasn't yet. And speaking of value, we started to see a rotation into value. But yet right now, it just seems like the market is totally confused, but not necessarily in a horrific standpoint yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you're seeing this chop, because you, you know, when you start to see indicators that either side can grab onto, it, it does make it a little tough. By the way, I just want to bring up something that is happening in the chat. Doug posted, Hamish, nice call on the return of inflation on your last RV visit. Where do we go from here? I just want to say, we're going to call out two things. And this is why we love having Mish on. Not only has she been talking about inflation, not just the last visit, Doug, you've been talking about sort of stagflation, being concerned about inflation. We did it at the beginning of the year in January. We talked about it. I mean, you have really been concerned about this. As well as last time you were on, we're going to talk more about tech in a moment, but you also threw out, as you do sometimes when you're just thinking about your gut and you're looking at the charts in your holistic way, a comment about Netflix. I just want to play a little clip from that.
And the only strong feeling I have right now, other than what I told you as to what to watch as your great barometer for timing, is go short Netflix. I know you weren't expecting that, but I just did a whole article about that today for my daily. I think Netflix is completely overvalued at this particular point at 620.
I always love when you say you weren't expecting that. and there's always some of those gems put in. But good on both, Mish, because you're not afraid to be a contrarian. If you're on the platform in the chat, Brian dropped the link to Mish's work in there. And remember, if you're an RV member, you get a discount in our marketplace. So head over to the platform and you can find that marketplace under its own tab. And this is why you're a fan favorite, Mish. So just wanted to give you a kudos on that. So let's break those both up, though, because you got those calls right. Let's start with inflation, though. So we're in this choppy period. Are you concerned about inflation accelerating from here? Or is it just a case of it just being sticky and not going down to the level that the Fed would like to see? Because those are two very different things.
There are. And actually, I think I'm concerned about a little bit of both, right? Because sticky inflation is not necessarily a great scenario for the Fed either, because we know sticky inflation can get stickier if they start to lower the rates for any reason to,
I thought that was like part of the analogy you were making. Because I'm pretty sure that's what Powell's thinking every time he has to do a press conference.
Yes, I curse. Yes, sorry about that. I blacked out completely for a second. I didn't see you. Anyway, never mind. Going back. Yeah, so I think that sticky inflation can get stickier. So that's a concern. And it also would be a concern that it doesn't necessarily get any lower unless, of course, the Fed decides to allow us to go into a major recession. Because then that is the cure for inflation, right? That was the cure for inflation back in the early 80s. So essentially that's one part. The other part is sticky inflation can get much worse because of all the balls that we still have being tossed around, geopolitics, of course, being maybe number one of the balls. But if you haven't noticed, this country's gotten a little bit insane lately, too. Yeah. And we have an election and we have a lot of spending. And again, we have the Fed actually, money supply has actually increased, which is a little bit inflationary. But also the big thing is that AI, one of the things that we're starting to see in AI is that it requires a tremendous amount of raw material, not just water. I think we may have talked about the water part last time.
Yeah, but energy,
they're saying natural gas and copper, right, and electricity. And then utilities are coming into the equation, not just as a flight to safety like typical, but also because of the delivery system of these raw materials. And so we have a shortage of raw materials in many ways. And so this is a nuanced inflation. Yeah, I mean, we're not at 8 or 9%. We may not even get there, but we're not going down to 2%. And I think that's basically what Yellen said today. And that really people thought, oh, God, that means the Fed's going to go crazy trying to raise the rates. And I don't think so. But as we're going forward with inflation, any of these little triggers that we know have been around us could trigger and could spike it up. And let's not forget also even Russia-Ukraine. I mean, there was a story yesterday that Russia, that the United States was going to potentially sanction Russia's uranium supply, and uranium went crazy. And then it came off today with the rest of the market. So everything's nervous. The inflationistas are nervous. The recessionistas are nervous. The stagflationistas are feeling a little more smug, but that doesn't mean it's easy to make money.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing. Today's Real Vision Daily Briefing is brought to you by Chintai, your partner in asset tokenization. Licensed and regulated by Singapore's Monetary Authority and powered by the innovative CHEX token, Chintai offers a compliant, one-stop solution for bringing real-world assets on-chain. Chintai enables the tokenization of virtually any asset, from carbon credits to corporate debt, private funds, and real estate, enhancing liquidity and optimizing efficiency for all.
The technology becomes largely invisible and seamless to the end user. I can take a selective store of value within a wider portfolio in a fairly liquid form, very efficiently, to anything, whether it's some high-value whiskey, whether it's a particular supercar that's a one-of-three limited edition, therefore in this fungible trading of them in a liquid form, is the true end game here for tokenization.
With billions of dollars in client deals facilitated, explore how you can take advantage of tokenization by visiting realvision.com/chintai. You've heard the headlines. Inflation is unchecked. The dollar is collapsing. The government is printing too much money. The fear is real, but there is a solution: gold. The government can't print more gold. Gold isn't collapsing, and gold's value increases during inflationary times. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you protect your wealth. Noble Gold Investments is the gold IRA company that Americans trust. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. Whether you're a seasoned investor or new to the game, Noble Gold Investments simplifies and secures your gold investment journey. Choose between a tax-advantaged gold IRA or have physical gold delivered to your door. Noble Gold Investments ensures a seamless and easy transaction. Invest in something you can hold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com/vision to get started. Don't wait. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/vision.
Or that it's a good thing, right? That's a kind of difficult thing. And I just want to underscore what you said about inflation, because it is an interesting dynamic, and this could sort of lead to that chop that we're talking about, because you've got the sort of two different pressures of inflation. Some of the supply chain issues which may come up as a result of maybe geopolitics or something like that. Let's not forget weather. You know, eventually we're going into the summer, you're gonna have hurricanes, which we always worry about, energy. Those can be temporary but problematic. And you know, we've seen gas prices rise in recent weeks. And then you've got those two other larger trends. One are wages. We've seen wage pressure, and that was in the employment cost index today. And that utility, that energy pressure, that's not temporary or because of a geopolitical event, but that's this demand story coming from AI. That's super interesting, not talked about as much. People are going to need to figure it out, right? Because that's new. We don't know what that looks like. So that is going to be problematic. And Yellen, everybody, by the way, thought she'd be pushing for rate cuts, right? So she's coming out talking about being worried about inflation. You can see why the market had that reaction. So where do you think, it seems like what happens to stocks is going to be determined by rates. How do you think about the treasury yields here?
Well, and one other thing, by the way, Yellen said in the great list that you just recapped is shelter costs. She didn't think those were coming down anytime soon either, right?
So that's also problematic.
Right. Well, in terms of the rates, I still really believe that this 5.5% that we've seen in terms of the yields, even though we went back up over 5% today, is probably maxed out, at least for now, unless we face something insane, like a giant spike in oil, for example. And even oil's been really kind of tame. So, yeah. So I think what we really have to watch out for is if we don't see the necessarily the yields go down, but they don't necessarily go up, and we're stuck between 4.5 and 5.5, which would just put us in a range bound, like we are in so many things right now, like the dollar, for example. Then I do believe that the stock market, the pockets of the stock market that are very interest rate sensitive, we're already seeing tons and tons of companies making new 52-week lows because they can't handle the inflation. They can't handle the interest rates. They don't have great earnings growth or good balance sheets. And those will be where bottom picking is such a great fun thing to do in a risk on environment, will be a terrible idea in a risk off environment. And you'll have to really play very carefully the type of stocks, and it won't necessarily be, oh, growth stocks, just ignore everything. Like I said in the beginning, they also have to find a valuation that makes sense, because they too, look at what Zuckerberg said. He basically, I think, was so honest. He said that in order to be competitive, they're going to have to spend a lot more money in R&D, which means more costs, which means an impact to the bottom line. And I think that's going to be the case, whether it's a Microsoft or a Google, Meta, obviously. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Amazon. I think that was reporting today too.
Yeah, it is actually out. Yeah. After the close,
and it's down.
Right now we'll see. I'll see if Brian's paying attention to, since you and I, as we talk, can't multitask. We can multitask, but there's a limit.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what would be fun, this would be a good time in terms of the stock market. You know, my Modern Family has never failed me, right? 4 weeks
ago. Yeah, do you have charts? Are those the charts we have? What is that?
Yeah, that's the 6 charts. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, but let's
pull them up though, so we can look at them while you talk.
Yeah, because it's been so obvious just watching. These are weekly charts. I've actually almost stopped watching daily charts, because when they chop, you can get a lot of fake out breakouts and a lot of fake out breakdowns. So the weekly charts kind of give you a little bit of a step back opportunity to take a breath and say, you know, this is a really good time to be patient. So if we start, you know, with the very top one, which of course is Granny Retail, that was our heads up. And by the way, you know, the consumer confidence, as you mentioned, was just horrific today. So people are starting to get sour on things, but nonetheless, still spending money, just in different places. But XRT broke down from a channel it had been in for a few weeks. And then once it broke down on the channel, I started getting cautious. And then look where it held, that green line, which is the 200-week moving average. And then, you know, it had a nice little pop last week. But you can see now that the close today were challenging that 200-week moving average. So if that breaks down and the number is around 71.50, I think we're going lower. I mean, you can't fight the retail sector because it's so huge as part of the GDP. And obviously what drives the economy. And then the small caps, not as interesting, interestingly enough, but also broke down after Granny, held the 200 week. Today, even though it couldn't get back through that channel low, it's still not anywhere near that 200 week moving average. That could be a bright spot. Because the biotech is just broken down and is continued to be. It's the only one that's trading under the 50 week moving average, let alone the 200 week, which is blue. So biotech, I mean, Biogen actually looked a little more interesting today. We've been watching Moderna, even Pfizer, maybe some of these stocks bottom. But right now, we're not seeing very much here in the IBB. But look at the semiconductors. I mean, that's still the queen, if you will, sister semiconductors, above the 50, above the 200. But touching on that channel breakdown, so that tells me that 220, if we can't get through 220, and I think Amazon now is up on the day after the report, so it must have been better.
I think it was up. I think it was, we have to check on that.
After hours, I'm looking at it and it's
Oh, is it say up? Is originally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's trading at 181. So maybe that helps.
Yeah, down today after hours. Okay, good.
But here's my biggest concern. If we move over to the lower middle, that's the transportation sector. And that, in the face of everything rallying last week, was continuing to sell off. And what makes the family so interesting is very often we get different parts of it leading and showing that there's a bottom in place or topping and showing that even though everything else hasn't caught up yet, it might. And transportation, I think, is really where you have to keep your eyes right now, besides the retail sector, because that is telling us right now. It was the first one to weaken coming into this week. It's weak now. It's going to be challenging about 63, which is a big level. So tomorrow's going to be an interesting day, because if that continues to drag down and we have some good earnings and it doesn't matter to the market, and we have the Fed meeting tomorrow, you know, what I've been telling people, and I'm taking my own advice, by the way, is to be really cautious. I mean, the Netflix, I just want to say something about Netflix, is you guys have been my muse. You know, when I get these like feelings like, oh my God, all of a sudden short Netflix, a lot of it has to do with how wonderful it's been to talk to Real Vision for the years. I don't know, something about you and I that just kind of
bears.
But Netflix was my first clue when I thought about it, that it was overvalued, you know, growth stocks being overvalued. And we're seeing that all over the place. So I don't think, even if semiconductors hold, we're going up to new highs anytime soon. But it would make the case for the chop in May as opposed to the sell in May. And I hope all of that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let me circle back. I love Ralph just said, you have any thoughts on, and then listed like every asset class. Ralph, we love you. You look at everything. We're gonna rifle through a few of them now that we've sort of set the table on what Mish's sort of macro thinking is. But I just want to circle back on utilities. So are you bullish utilities, even though you worry about some of the value? I think Keith just walked by. Tell him we said hi. Even though we worry about some of the valuations in hi Keith in AI and maybe in tech, do you like utilities because of that trend?
Well, you know, it's interesting because utilities tend to be very interest rate sensitive. So here we are now, utilities are acting well in the face of the potential of higher yields and certainly what we saw today. But yeah, I am very much, because it cleared since a year ago, it cleared the 200 week moving average so far this week. That is showing it's in an accumulation weekly phase, just like I'm showing you these weekly charts here. So just from a pure technical standpoint, we now have a pretty good risk point. If it broke down under the lows of this week and started to test the highs of last week, you can say false breakout. But right now, if it holds, yeah, I think what it's telling you is twofold, is one, the flight, typical flight to safety. Yeah, two, it's not really caring very much about the interest rates. And number three is, like I said, this delivery system of the raw material, even though silver and gold came down a lot today, what it's really telling you is that we still have a short supply and these utility companies carrying the delivery system to get things to generate, especially in the big supercomputer areas, is a positive for utilities. So yeah, kind of a unique experience.
Yeah, and a unique thought if people are afraid to go straight into AI, and also depending on your time frame, right? If you don't have a really long horizon and you can't stand the sort of volatility while we figure out who the real winners are there. What about, you mentioned gold and silver. What about, how are you feeling about that? Because I know, I believe you were bullish last time we were on. Of course, we've seen, or have been for quite some time, and we've seen what happened now with the move in gold. How are you feeling about it here?
Well, right. And the last time I was on, it actually then ran to new highs. And
right after that.
It's been coming off. Well, you know, it's interesting because people have very short memories and people are very fickle, right? So while it's going up, all the people that weren't paying attention were jumping into silver and gold. Gold's going to 3,000, silver's going to 40. And, you know, whenever that happens right now, what the metals are really saying is they're coming off into support. And I like to look at silver even more than gold at this point, because so many people started accumulating gold. I mean, the whole story that you could buy it in Costco and all that other stuff. Silver may be a little bit more sane to be looking at. So silver ran up to about 28 for like a nanosecond. It was almost at 30. And now it's down at 26.60 and it really broke out from 26. So to me, all this is saying right now is all the week alongs were shaken out, that it's still in a long-term upward trend, just getting a pretty good correction, which commodities do. Remember, commodities tend to be volatile. And number three is that unless this really breaks down to under 24, I have found over the last several years when it really looks like crap, it's usually been the buy, because it's when people throw their hands up because none of the fundamentals for the metals have changed. They're still well undervalued compared to equities. They're still undervalued in terms of commodities versus equities in general. There's still all these problems that we talked about in the beginning that don't look like they're going away. And we have seen inflation coming up a little bit. So I'm waiting now. If anything, I would be looking to add if we hold this $26 in silver, which means wherever gold is, whether it's a 2280 or 2250, or if it holds 2300, you know, it probably means that that would be it for the gold as well in terms of correction.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I just want to point out, Christopher, and you are very much vibing today, Christopher in the chat saying the market looks spooky, went fully hedged 30 minutes before the close. We'll see what tomorrow brings. And we know Christopher brings a lot of experience and spidey sense, as you do, Mish, to this. So both of you, when you're saying you're cautious, people should pay attention. So we've got a few people asking about Bitcoin. If we're kind of in this risk-off environment, what does that mean for Bitcoin? And if you look at Sol, I mean, Mish has a crypto product and some folks at Market Gates that do crypto. But what do you, analysis, what are you thinking about there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the crypto model bought Bitcoin at 64 and change and then got out under 64, like it did not stick around. So clearly the algos changed right away, which now is looking like, you know, a tiny loss looks like, wow, nothing compared to people who are sitting still. And now it's breaking down under 60. Well, that too, and I didn't bring that chart, but that too has been in a channel between like 72 and 60 going back for weeks now. And the halving happened and it's not, Holden would tell you, it's not atypical for the halving event to not be bullish for Bitcoin until maybe anywhere from 16 to 24 weeks out. And actually Brian and I were having a conversation before that a lot of the retail space piled in, but there still hasn't been a huge amount of institutional buying in it. If it breaks 60, it's another thing, just like I showed you with the channel breakdowns in the Modern Family. Where does it go from here? Your next real major support would probably be at around 50,000. And we'll take it from there. I think right now what we saw is that it's not a hedge for inflation. It's not impervious to higher interest rates or risk-off environment. We've had a tremendous amount of capital outflow from it. And it's a very highly technical instrument. So under 60, I don't know if I would necessarily want to be long unless we get some kind of washout and then we come back through. That might be a safer bet. But even with that, we're kind of aside right now.
Yeah. So is there anything that you like here, Mish, in this environment? Because it does sound like you have to be tactical, you have to be careful, but Ralph asking if there's anything you're particularly bullish on any equity sectors, but you could say whatever if it's not equities as well.
Well, I've kind of switched a little bit to looking at emerging markets. And I think we talked about China last time. And, you know, I've been the one that's always saying, don't discount China.
Yes, you've been sort of contrarian on this. Not right. I mean, there's contrary, but in small company, there's a few of you have been kind of bucking the trend on that.
Right. Well, you know, we have a very myopic sense of things here in the United States. And one of them is, you know, China's over. You know, that's just not, it's not rational. They have thousands of years of experience and they know what they're doing. They look at a long-term plan. That doesn't mean they haven't made mistakes, of course. So we bought Alibaba a while ago. I think I may have mentioned it on the show. So we've been long at around 69. And it got up 2 days ago, I think over 76 or something. And I was like, yes. And now, of course, it sold off with the market, but not so bad. I would say it's sort of stuck also in the middle of this range. It has to get through 78. If it gets through 78, then it's busted out. FXI busted out, but of course, corrected with the rest of the market today. But China looks pretty interesting right now. So that's kind of one focus. The other is I still think defense stocks, I'm particularly interested in Palo Alto. And we bought that at 275. It's trading up at 293. For a second, it got up to 299. So again, you know, these are the kinds of things that if we're starting to see the market sell off, you know, everything sells off. But now if that holds at around 280, to me, that would be a relative strength. And of course, if it breaks out over 300, it looks good. You know, what else am I watching?
Well, uranium.
I was watching uranium and I was kind of disappointed with today, but I will reserve judgment on that. We talked about it actually last time because one of the viewers asked me and I said, oh, it's in a range between 26 and 28. It takes out 28. It looks good. Well, as long as it holds 28, I'm still kind of friendly to it. I'd like to see get over 30. And I'm not, you know, I'm not all that keen on anything much right now. I mean, this is a good time, especially with yields continue to go up. I like fixed income. You know, it's safe. Having some cash, and Warren Buffett's raising cash like crazy. So if he's raising cash, you know, that's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And pick your spots carefully. And when it's all over, there will be a lot of fun because I'm still really, really interested in the vanity trade and the drug companies dealing with the diet drugs and the ramifications of that. But we're not quite ready.
Like what, not only the drug makers themselves, but what else benefits from a whole army of newly skinny, inspired people?
Absolutely.
Healthier people.
Yes, exactly. And I know.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Well, and a lot of restaurants and junk food places are nervous about this.
Absolutely. This is like one of those sort of longer term trends, especially if they start to get cheaper. By the way, Ash has a fantastic conversation with Scott Bessent, like, you know, very well known, very famous macro trader. You know, one of those guys who had a seat at the table with everyone you'd think of who's a market wizard. And he mentioned the same thing, Mish, being very interested in that sort of halo play around that, you know, just changing lifestyles. He didn't just mention the obesity drugs, though. He was also talking about the impact of AI. So highly, highly recommend you members go and check out that conversation. It's just really fascinating. He and Ash cover a whole range of topics. Want to ask you a question about the yen. And Ralph just said, I just read things from the chat that our smart people put in. I'm not vetting them myself. I didn't catch this one. Buffett is raising cash in yen. I've had so many people talking to me about Japan, watching what's happening with the yen, wondering about devaluation, also with the yuan. How are you thinking? Is Japan on your radar, Mish?
Well, yeah. And I know it was a great trade to be long the Japanese stock market, you know, clearly. And now with the yen in sort of a free fall, there was rumors on whether or not the Bank of Japan intervened. But if they did, it didn't really do very much good
like
at this
barely,
point.
Barely. And just enough to say they did, I think, is the takeaway.
Well, you know, my theory is this. I think, actually, and I didn't make this up. I read this somewhere and it really resonated with me, is that I think they have typically not been all of that intervention-wise active through the years the way our central banks are. And I think part of the reason is they've been able to look at their the policy based on what the rest of the world is doing. And of course, they had their own problems considering the Nikkei had peaked out in the 80s and really didn't come back until more recently. I think they're going to watch what the Fed does. I really do. I think that if they see the Fed have any dovish talk, they'll continue to allow things to settle to a point. I mean, 160 was supposed to be the big number where they were going to intervene. And we haven't really seen much in the way of intervention. I think if they think that the Fed might go more dovish, then the dollar will come off and that will in turn help the yen. And when I read that, I thought, you know, if I were a patient country like Japan, like China, then yeah, I would like to see what the Americans do first before I would get too crazy in trying to intervene in my currency. And with China's got a whole other ball of wax going on because of the yuan and the whole, you know, interest with BRICS and everything. But in terms of Japan, I'm actually really waiting very patiently to be a buyer of some of these really beat up currencies. We talked about the Swiss franc and that just got beat up some more too, and possibly even the yen. But again, like everything, be as patient as Japan is being, and let's see what happens after tomorrow. I think we'll know a lot more, or we won't know anything other than stay the course.
Yeah, but you know, and watch the market, right? Like, I know, especially really seasoned folks like you have your signals. This is why we always talk about having a framework and looking for levels that you're watching, because when the time presents itself, things will start to line up and not just one thing. And then you'll know, which is what we count on you for. But sometimes doing nothing is the answer. And you've taught us that too, Mish. Just wait for your opportunity.
And you don't have to wait that long generally, right? I mean, think about all the times where the market crashed and then it turned out to be an incredible buy opportunity. And we're not even talking crash. I mean, the worst thing that could happen is we don't crash and we don't rally and we just chop. But even then you have to find the things that are outperforming. And, you know, so as we always say, having some technical skills. And even if it's just looking at a simple weekly moving average and getting to understand the 50-week and the 200-week, look how clean these charts are that I showed before. I don't really need much more than that. That tells me everything I need to know, and having a focus of the inside sectors like the retail, the small caps, the transportation, the semiconductors. Now, why I would consider more inside regional banks, they're in their own animal. They're just sort of chopping around, but they're still doing okay. Then I think it'll tell you. And, you know, and I don't think you have to wait that long. I really don't.
I'm going to squeeze one more in because you just mentioned small caps, and AJ asking, any view on IWM for a 1-year buy? Thank you for putting your time frame in there, AJ.
1 year. Well, you know, here's the thing. I think it's, again, pretty simple. 180 was where it broke out from. And 200, it cleared and it looked good for like, you know, a couple of weeks and then broke down. And now it's trading between essentially 185, I think, and maybe it won't get down to 180 and 200. So just wait. If it takes out 200, and it looked like it was going to yesterday, right? It went to like 199 and change. Then I would say, yeah, you know, from a long-term buy, you know where your risk is. I would, you know, you can give it a $20 kind of move, which wouldn't be that bad. I mean, it would be probably more than I like to risk, 20%. But still, if you keep it between a 12 and 15% risk, and you want to think, you think the small caps have a reason to pick up next year, then go for it.
Yeah, you can always protect yourself.
Exactly.
Mish, so fantastic. Nobody's better. We went an extra minute with that, but it was worth it. Thank you so much. And Andre is joining us from Portugal on YouTube. Andre, get your Real Vision membership so you can come in the real chat. But it's great to have you here. Mish, always fantastic to have you here. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing all your information with us. And being a sort of speaking your truth and being a contrarian when you feel it, because it certainly benefited everybody who watches. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you can find Mish in the marketplace. One quick update for everybody. We launched an RV crypto service. So it's a new service and community for investors. And you're probably really macro investors, but you just want to understand this more, want to understand what everyone's talking about. You want to keep it on your radar. So since this is now in the ETF world and may at some point be something that you need to dabble on about, or at least you're going to be asked about it. So if you want to understand more about what's going on in, and I would say the digital asset, sort of blockchain technology space, this is for you. Come and join us. There is a special offer right now, some special pricing that's good till Thursday at midnight. So you can learn more about the team and the product at realvision.com/RV. So go check it out. Thanks, everybody. Great to see you. We'll be back same time tomorrow with everything about the Fed. So join us then. In the meantime, take care and good luck out there.
If you want to participate in the upside of crypto, but don't have the time or the inclination to go truly down the rabbit hole, then Real Vision Crypto might just be for you. New from Real Vision, an RV crypto subscription gets you access to a trading basket complete with risk management strategy, technical analysis updates, private Discord channel, monthly drinks online, and more. And it's led by a team of RV favorites, including Chris Bullock, Jamie Coots, Peter Pinkosoff, and more to be announced soon. So barely have time to listen to the end of this ad, but want to take part in this crypto cycle without having to dedicate all of your time to figuring it out? Go to realvision.com/RV crypto. That's realvision.com/RV crypto to see if RV crypto is the right fit for you.